welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
This morning, I am speaking on the goodness of God. I just want to talk about God, basically. So, it's a fairly simple message, I think, but about an incredibly complex person, the most wonderful person in all of the universe. And so, let's just desire to know him more. I hope I can share something with you that just touches your heart and reminds you more about him, because that's we want to grow in the knowledge of God, don't we? We want to grow in the knowledge. God is infinite, so there's a lot to learn. We've got all of eternity to learn more and more, but he's amazing. So first of all, 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. God is good. He's so good. He's just all good. He's completely wonderful. And it says in Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You don't want to miss out on the goodness of God by not trying and not tasting. I remember hearing about a man in China. He was in Hong Kong at the time. He shared the story about he grew up in China. And they said, "What? How did you get to Hong Kong?" He said, "I had to get to Hong Kong. I had to try and get out to freedom." That was when Hong Kong wasn't under China. He's probably left now. But he was in Hong Kong. He made millions and trillions of dollars. And they said, What made you come?" And he goes, "I tasted chocolate. I tasted chocolate. Someone had got some chocolate from the West." And I know about that because when we were in Russia, they didn't have Western chocolate when we went. They didn't have Western products when we arrived in Russia. And the kids came and said, "Oh, you have to try our chocolate." And they went, "Oh, I love chocolate." And I'm like, okay. It was just really sad. And so then when the Western supermarket started to open up, it was exciting. But he just tasted chocolate and went, "Oh, right, that's it. Where does this come from? It comes from Hong Kong. It comes from the West. That's where I'm going." He literally, his life's course was set because he tasted chocolate. Because it was so good. He said, "This is so good. Whoever knows how to make something taste this good, I need to be with those kinds of people." Because it's true. Honestly, communists, they made the most worst food. I can tell you. I ate it. It was disgusting. It was disgusting. I just remember it now. Oh, the food. Oh, my Google. So bad. So bad. I'm just having flashbacks. Trying to find food. My husband used to go hunting. I called him my hunter-gatherer. He used to find these strange little kiosks. People would smuggle out food from Sweden and Finland and fill up the kiosks and then sell them. And he'd come back and he'd go, look, babe, I've got some American cereal. It's 2 years out of date, but it's from America." I go, "Oh, that's fantastic." But then that was a problem because then all the little kiosks, they started to grow, you know, because they were trying to make money, these poor little Ruskies. And then they all started to get blown up. They literally bond. We go to our favourite one. What happened? Because, you know, then the mafia got into it and said, "Right, you've got to pay us money or we blow you up." So that was the end of that little source of supply. So anyway, Russia. But it can just taste one thing. It can make you go somewhere. And if you can just taste something of God, if you can taste something of his goodness and his infinite glory, it will change the direction of your life. You go, "This is what I want. This is everything. I don't want to live in China anymore. I don't want to live in the world anymore. I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. I want to follow this. How can I get more of this, of God? Because he's so good. He's so good. Taste. I hope this morning you can just have a taste and go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've allowed myself to be drunk with the world. Too much. Too much of the world. You can get used to bad food if you eat it enough. Too much TV, too much Netflix, too much podcast, too much whatever, and then you just don't taste God anymore. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It will change your life and cause you to follow him with all your heart, all your heart. It says that his mercy endures forever. I love that word so much, the word that they've translated mercy. It's a beautiful Hebrew word. I looked up how to say it. Chesed. Chesed. We don't have that ch sound in English, but it's chesed. And it's just this word that means love, mercy, kindness, loving kindness. It's this rich word they translate differently. And it's just love in action. And it says he is good and his chesed, this beautiful, loving goodness and mercy is forever. It endures forever. It starts right now for you. It's been for all eternity and it will be for all eternity. Enjoy that chesed. Enjoy his love. 1 John 1:5 says this, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is nothing bad about God. Nothing. Now, just, you know, everyone has their slightly dark side, weird side, unpleasant side. You know, you spend time with people and you're like, okay. Nothing bad in God. If you spend time with God, and we will be with him in heaven for all eternity, if we're born again, it's just endlessly good. Some of my kids had flatmates, and then you really discover someone's dark side, don't you? You know, when people, you live with people and you, I remember one of them was saying that this one flatmate just didn't tidy up, just never put his plates away. They would just sit on the table. So this child would come back and go, oh, they've left their plates there. Well, I'll do it for them this time, maybe a couple of times. Then you go, you left your plate there, yeah? So what? Well, I don't like seeing it there. Well, it's like, well, tidy it up. I don't have to. You're not my mum. You can't make me do that. And it's like, so what? I just have to live with it? She goes, yeah. It's like, what? And so it just sort of piled up because then they had this little fight about who was, you know, and the mess just got worse and worse. And then eventually the flatmate got left and with all the piles of his plates because they're both, there was a standoff, you know. And so, you know, that's a dark side. That's not pleasant. But God's not like that. I don't know if you ever get a little feeling like maybe he's a bit distant, but distant isn't kind, is it? That's not chesed. He's close. Maybe you get a feeling that he's a bit strict, like that headmaster you had or that particular teacher, but he's not too strict. He's very welcoming. He's very fair. He's just good. There's nothing bad about him. The world is bad. Yes, the world is bad. The devil is bad. And his children are bad because the Bible says that you can be children of the devil if you're not following Jesus. So that's strong, John 8:44. So in this world we will have troubles. And so sometimes we think, oh, what's going on? This is bad. Why? What? But it's like don't assume those troubles are because of God. It's because we're on earth. We're not at home yet. We're not, you know, this is just temporary. So we do have troubles, but God is good. So we have to learn how to bring his goodness into our world because that's what he wants to do. He knows this. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles. But take heart, be brave, be strong. I've won. I have overcome the world. So we know this world is difficult. We know that. But we don't put that on God. We don't blame God. God gave it to us and we're making a mess. Now what we need to do is God help me. And he's all right, I will. He's with us. But it is, life is, there's storms in this life and we've got to handle it. Just last night, I had quite an interesting week. And then last night at 6:45, the neighbour's dog started to bark and he's like, I'm here and it's the neighbour sort of down below me. So the sound is basically straight through our bedroom window. So by 10:30, I thought, I'll go over and knock on the door. So I go over, they're not home. So then I go, maybe the dog, actually there's two of them, maybe the dogs are hungry. So I got some dog food and I went back to their house and I tipped the dog food over the fence thinking, be happy, you got the food. And then I went back. By 11 o'clock, the other neighbour was pounding on his fence. The pork, there was a, you know, the metal fence. He's like, shut up! Like that, he was just pounding. I thought, mate, that's not going to work. It made them bark louder. That dog barked all night, 8 hours, 9 hours, just non-stop. I was just like, duh. So, you know, that's life on earth, isn't it? I was praying, I was looking up scriptures, I was going to sleep with a pillow on my head and then waking up again and I was giving him the fig tree treatment. It was really Going for that dog. Some of you know what I mean. I'm just like, right. But, you know, that's life on earth. But that's not God. And somehow in the midst of the dog barking or the partner screaming at you or whatever it is that's going on, we've got to find the goodness of God. So I'm like, all right, well, if I'm going to lie here awake all night, I'll meditate on my word this morning. So I spent a lot of time, thought, well, I just go to heaven. I just go to heaven with Jesus. And I'll just be in the, you know, I'm seated with him in the heavenly place. So I'm just like doing all these weird things. I mean, obviously at first I was just listening to music and, you know, trying to drown it out, but that gets a bit tired after at about 1 o'clock. You've got to do something. You've got to get to sleep. Praise the Lord. What about when people blame you and get angry with you and are unkind to you? And it just feels like, what? Where is God? Like, why am I getting blamed? It's like, that's not God. I just want you to know that all of the bad things, there is a devil. It says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't like you. So of course he makes things bad for you, but that's all the devil. It's all this world. God is good. And our job is to discover that goodness and to live in that goodness and to bring it in somehow, to get through the tests, because all things work together for good. It's like, all right, how is this going to work? How is this latest thing going to work? Maybe this horrible criticism that someone's just spoken over your life. Chris Vallotton says this, noble people will always be blamed for the guilt of the guilty. They try to silence the voice of shame within them by censoring the voice of dignity. Mm-hmm. Psalm 27:13, when we keep pressing into God, we will see this. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's a great scripture, isn't it? So it's not just like, oh, well, I'll wait till I die and then it'll be good. New heaven, new earth and all that. That'll be good. It's like, no, no, no. It says here, I would have lost heart unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we've got to keep pressing in, keep finding that goodness, keep fighting. God is good. God is rich. Number two, God is rich in mercy. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. Mercy is withholding judgment or punishment that we deserve. Maybe you feel like, I deserve this. I'm not good. I've been bad. It's like, well, maybe you do. We all sin. We all miss it. But it says he's so rich in mercy that he's not going to give us what we deserve. He's going to bless us more. We don't deserve all of these good things. But he says, that's okay. I know that. That's why Jesus died, to show us his mercy. So I'm not going to punish you the way you deserve. I'm not going to treat you the way your sins deserve. Even now you go, oh, I haven't prayed enough. Oh, I haven't done this. And, oh, I'm not. It's like God is so good. He's very merciful. It says he doesn't treat us the way our sins deserve, nor reward us according to our iniquity. He's rich in mercy. He just loves to bless us. He gives us, and then it says, by grace you've been saved through faith. So these two elements of God's love, the mercy, where we don't get what we deserve, grace is where we get blessings and favour that we don't deserve. So not only does he not give us what we should have, he then gives us more grace and blessings and favour. And so he just loves us. He loves us so much. I spoke to someone. I said, how can we describe the love of God? And they said, it's like when your child is asleep. You just feel such a surge of love for them, don't you? You know, little sleeping child. They're so beautiful. When they wake up, there's more effort involved. But when they're asleep, it's beautiful. God is so rich in mercy for us. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you just the way you are. Yes, he wants you to grow, but not so much that he loves you more. He's not going to love you more when you're more anointed. I mean, I'm not going to love little Jerry when he's 10 more than I love him now. You know? It's just the same love. It's just a different, just a more grown up version of the same love. He wants us to grow because he doesn't want us to be stunted. That's not great for us. But he just loves us. God is so generous. Number three, he's so generous. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how will he not freely give us all things? God is very generous. He wants to bless us. Look at that. He gave us his son. How will he not give us everything? I'm just like, what? Imagine if I gave you my son. Imagine if I gave you Hudson. Hudson, here, I give you to. And then someone said, well, can I have his clothes? It's like, of course you can have his clothes as well. Like, once you've given the son, it's like, well, everything else is, you know, that's a minor thing. You know what I'm saying? Once you've given a child, it says, how will he not also freely give us everything? If he gave us Jesus, why wouldn't he give us other things? Why wouldn't he bless us with everything? There's thousands of stories in the life of this church of God's generosity. There's just thousands how over the last 30 years God has blessed us with husbands and wives. That's a good thing to be given. Children, homes, this building he gave us, cars been given, holidays. The Ashbys are away in Japan at the moment. I don't know, they've got some fancy way of working out their finances. Unexpected things. You know when you sort of, he's so sweet. Like sometimes you just see something in the shop, you think, oh, I'd love that. Oh, no, it's too expensive. And then you go back 3 weeks later, it's like, what? It's like a quarter of the price. And you go, oh, and you just have that sense that it's God, you know, that sense. He just gives us little things. I find that really lovely. The other day, I really wanted some classy hand soap, pumpy soap. This is the smallest of things. Because I've noticed there's not, so, you know, I just like that really nice smelling one. And I went to the shops and I thought, I'm just going to cheat myself. You know, I just buy my own. And I went looking around, I couldn't find one I liked. I didn't like that smell, or this shop didn't have any left, or so I went, oh, you know, whatever, no big deal. And then a friend who I'd blessed sent me a present, and I opened it up, and it was a really expensive hand soap. And I'm just like, oh, thank you to my friend, and thank you, Lord. Like, hand soap. God wants to give us hand soap. You might say, well, that was just a coincidence, Ruth. It's like, my life is just one big coincidence after another. I don't think statistically it's possible to have as many coincidences as I have. Do you know what I'm saying? That I want hand soap, I get hand soap. I want this, I get that. It's the blessing of God because he loves us. He's generous. He loves to bless us with all sorts of wonderful things. I remember when we were young and we liked the idea of going on a trip. Chris and I, when we first got married, and he did the maths, and it was at that time it was going to cost us about $10,000, and we couldn't do that. There's no way, so we didn't. And then a couple of years later, we were called to be missionaries. We went to Russia, and they paid us $300 a week for our salary and our ministry expenses. And even then, in 1992, that was not a big wage. Okay, so we had to pay for our rent and our food. And we paid for the rent of the Bible college rooms. We had a young lady we put on part-time in the salary as on a salary, Rita, who found a nice American missionary to marry. And then Chris put Bibles in all the local schools. We bought a whole stack of Bibles because all the local communist schools didn't have Bibles in their library. So he asked permission to the schools and they all said, yeah, because now they were open, you know, glasnost, perestroika, let's open up to the West. Back then. So he went and put Bibles in all the local schools. And even then, with only that $300, we did all that with the $300. And then, but we were managed to save and we managed to go on a little trip around Scandinavia. We went up, drove up to Finland, got the boat to Sweden, Norway, went and visited my old friends in Denmark, stayed there for free. We called it the tour of the Scandinavian playgrounds because we had these two little ones. We just went from playground to playground. But, I mean, we said at the time, we're having a European trip. We thought it would be nice. We couldn't afford it. All we did was give our lives to Jesus and become poor missionaries and sell our house and our car. And now we're doing a trip around Europe? How does that work? That's the goodness of God. That's the generosity of God. He's just good. And he's good when you give him your life. If you try and figure it all out for yourself sometimes, you just don't make it happen. But when you lay it all down. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There it is again. There's no shadows. No strange changes. But it's every good gift and every perfect gift. So I just wondered, it's always good to dig in a bit with the word, isn't it? I thought, why does they say good gift and perfect gift? Why don't they say good and perfect gift? So I looked up the word gift in both cases, and it's different. It's a different word. And I went, interesting. So then I did some exploring of the Greek, and a better translation, more direct, from Young's, is every good giving and every perfect gift. So I can see why they said gift, because it seems to make more sense. But I just love that his gifts are perfect and so is his giving. Because some of you are probably thinking, well, why doesn't God give me a Ferrari then, or $1 million, or, you know, if he's so generous, I want this and I want that. It's like God will give you as much as you can handle. Like, honestly, $1 billion, none of us want that. There's a lot of work trying to figure out what to do with that money. Do you know what I'm saying? He gives us what is good for us. His giving is good. The timing is good. The amount is good for us. When my children were little, I did a little experiment for Easter. You know, we were always very controlled on, we gave them lots of Easter eggs, but then, you know, you sort of have to put them away. And I remember one year I said, you know, we should just see. Sometimes they say kids can sense for themselves how much to do, how much to eat. Let's just give them a free rein. So we said, just here's the Easter eggs. Listen to your stomach, be wise, and eat as much as you want. Worked well with Luke. The Easter eggs lasted for a full year until the next time, and we said, Luke, throw them out, they're stale. However, God knows us. My darling Bethany decided, great, so I can eat as much chocolate as I want. Yes, but, you know, be wise and listen to your body. She says, okay. Well, Bethany really ate a lot of chocolate. She really did. And the next morning she got into bed with me, and because she sometimes came in to snuggle when she was little. She was very little. Like, she's only, well, I don't know, like six or something. She's only a little six-year-old. She used to come in and snuggle in the mornings, as most little kids do. She'd come in and snuggle, and I'm kind of cuddling and going, what's going on? She was kind of like crusty. I went, what's going on, Beth? What? So I got out and I'm like, what's happened? And then she's covered in all this stuff, and I went into her bedroom. She ate so much chocolate, and in the night, the chocolate had come out and it had just sprayed out all over her bed, over the walls, all over her, everywhere. It was on the roof. I'm not even kidding. She must have eaten so much chocolate. The poor child just exploded with chocolate, and having exploded, it then set, and then she came in to give me a cuddle. So there you go. So you can see that sometimes giving a child or an adult as much as they want, when they want, isn't always a good giving. God is good giving. I did a little bit of research on this from the National Endowment for Financial Education, showing that, this is in the States, 70% of all lottery winners lose most or all of their winnings within a few years. The Certified Financial Planning Board found that one-third of lottery winners are bankrupt within 3 to 5 years. Because they have no understanding of investment, sudden large spending, pressure for handouts from families, fraud, scams, addictions and vice. Not good giving to win the lottery, because you can't handle it. See, God knows when to give us things. For example, and there was a lot of examples, Michael Carroll in the UK won £9.7 million. That should set you up for life. That's pounds. That's not even dollars. That's like, what, $18 million. Invest it. You're good for life. No. He was bankrupt in 5 years. He spent lavishly on parties, cars and drugs. Within 5 years, he was back working in a factory. Yeah. So God is a wise father. He's abundantly good and abundantly generous with us, but his giving is good as well as his gifts. Praise the Lord. All right. Couple more. God is so powerful. He's all powerful. He's good, and he's like infinitely powerful. Matthew 19:26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. God is so good, but he's also so powerful. Things are just like nothing to him. Things that we think are so big and terrible, he can beat them. He has beaten them. He's beaten every single demon that attacks us. Every single sickness has been destroyed. Every single problem, it's destroyed. He just laughs. There's no problems for him. Jesus conquered every issue that could possibly come against us. All we've got to do is go to him, and nothing can stand before God. Nothing. It's outrageous that we belittle God and worry about things when we know to only come to him and find his greatness, knowing his goodness, knowing his mercy, and knowing his good giving and his good gifts. He's so powerful. God is so glorious. Number four, he has infinite beauty, infinite greatness, infinite glory, all united in a panorama of beauty and glory. Romans 1:19-20 says this: what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain. This is us. What you can know about God is plain. It's clear to see. Because why? Because of creation. Since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. You can clearly see God's glory and beauty in creation. So, people are without excuse. That's what the Bible says. There's no excuse for ignoring God. Piper says the essence of evil is failure to honour God, to glorify God, and to thank God. To put anything before or above God is high treason. It's horrific to God, to all the hosts of heaven. It's not only foolish, but it is an infinite outrage, an insult worthy of hell. Wow. To not honour God when it's so obvious how wonderful and big he is, to ignore him, to put anything before God is an infinite outrage. It's outrageously bad. It's terrible. But we so often put God second. What may be known to God is clear. It's plain. We only have to walk outside and see the sky and think of the planets. Little Havelock was prophetic this morning, because I've got here, just looking at creation, the sun is a million times larger than Earth, but another star, VY Canis Majoris, is 2,000 times the sun's diameter. I mean, you can't really, can you? I can't understand that. I mean, you get some idea of the size of the Earth because it takes a long time in an aeroplane to go to London. I think, well, it must be a long way away. Or if you drive into Australia, the centre of Australia, you think, yes, it's quite big, the Earth. And the sun is a million times larger than the Earth, and this star is 2,000 times the sun's diameter. The mind boggles. And Havelock came in this morning. He just randomly walked in and says, Granny, did you know that there's a sun and it's so much bigger than the other sun, our sun? And I'm literally preaching about that this morning. He came in and started telling me all about it. I thought, okay, there's a word from God. I'll share that story. But the Bible says that God measures the universe with the span of his hand, like that. That's how big it all is, just like that. The whole universe. He's very great. He's very big. He's amazing. And he cares about us. He cares about us. So aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed that God cares about us and wants us to see that glory? Make sure you do go out and just experience the glory of God. Like, I love going out into nature. I think sometimes we don't do it enough. You know that we went to the to Alaska to look at the Northern Lights. I like that you all have an experience of nature, whether it's a sunset or a sunrise or something you remember and you go, oh, because it says that his divine nature, his eternal power is seen in the creation of the world. So when we go into nature, there's an opportunity to know more about God and enjoy his presence and go, wow, God. We just have to sometimes take the time. So we went all the way to Alaska to see the Northern Lights, and seeing the Northern Lights is a bit like seeing a rainbow. You know, it doesn't just happen. You've got to have all the right conditions, and then you just never know. Maybe You know, maybe when you think, sometimes I think, oh, it's raining, there's clouds. Oh, but the sun's come out. Oh, there might be a rainbow. You know, it's like that, but there might not. So we went all this way to see the Northern Lights, and we arrived in this little house, and we said, have you seen the Northern Lights yet? And they go, no, no lights. And I said, oh, well, we'll try again, we'll try tonight. And I remember when we went out, Chris and I would take it in turns because we wanted to sleep. It's a long night, and it was, I don't know, minus 15 degrees Celsius, minus 20 or something. It was very, very cold outside. We had to wait outside because that was what you had to do. So we'd be all rugged up and we'd take it in turns and we'd be standing out there. Oh, and I just remember standing out there and we had a system that we'd text the other person if we saw something. And I was so cold and we'd been waiting for hours and I had a turn, Chris had a turn. Then it was my turn again. It was probably about 2 o'clock, just waiting, looking at a black sky. It's very cold. And then I was like, God, I really want to see the Northern Lights. But you never beg God because God wants to bless you. Take authority. Don't beg. Begging's not good. Begging's like a pauper. So I was like, no, I know you want to bless me. You want to bless me, God. He's like, hmm? So I went, come on, Northern Lights, come out in Jesus' name. Come forth. I call you forth. Come out. And I'm just looking at the black sky, you know, I'm like trying to get this rainbow to appear, you know, just come on, come on. I kid you not, they came. Like I just went, the whole sky lit up green and started to flash towards me. I'm like, ah, ah, ah. And so I had to text Chris because he's asleep. And I can remember I didn't want to look down because you can last for 1 minute or 20. You don't know. So I remember thinking, I can't look away. I might miss it. So I remember I just got my phone open, quick, open. And then I just went, blah, 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 blah. I just pressed a lot of letters. Send, blah, 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 send. I sent him about 3 messages. Just blah, 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 send, blah, blah, blah. Like, and he just woke up and went, blah, blah, blah. Must be happening. He ran out. And we just stood there and it was glorious. Oh my goodness. Like the sky just kept lighting up and dancing. And that was the most incredible physical thing I've ever seen in my life. It was beyond. And people say it's got something to do with the sun and flares from the sun and all this stuff. I'm like, no. What it is this. There's heaven and a little angel just lifts up a little corner of heaven and lets a bit of the light out. They just let a little bit of the glory of heaven flash down to earth. That's what it is. That's my scientific opinion and I'm not changing. So that's what it looked like. It looked like the glory of God to me. And I have seen the glory of God with my eyes. So just a little bit. So there you go. God is amazing. So look what we've said. God is so good. God is so good. God is so rich in mercy. God is so generous. God is so powerful. God is so glorious, and so we glorify God. We glorify God. Let us glorify God. Every single one of us, we are able to carry within us more glory than everything I've just described because God is in us. Christ is in us. That is incredible. And so the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Because of his immense glory, we want to bring glory to him with all that we do to share in that glory. Habakkuk says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. One day, the earth will be full of his glory. So, all glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your greatness and your glory. I pray that we would all of us hunger and thirst to know you more this morning and every day. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus. Jesus.